and welcome to the Wise Women Interviews. This is our series of interviews where we are getting together with some beautiful women around the country to really find out what they're doing with healing modalities and things they're creating and just different topics to help us grow as wise women. I'm Stephanie Pixie Morris from pixiemorris.com, and today we have the beautiful Hallie Galvalisi.
Hi.
Yes, say hello. Hello.
Hey.
She is the beautiful creatrix of 12th House Studios, where she offers copper wire creations, talismans, and astrological insights or consultations, which I highly recommend. You can go to 12thhousestudio.com, which I'll insert below this video. Her other website is WooBird Creative, where she is a Wix expert and she creates websites, branding, and graphic designs. And again, I highly recommend her for that as well, since she built my website. So she is phenomenal. So Hallie, please tell us a little bit about the things that you do on both of your websites, whatever you want to talk about first.
Sure. Well, I want to start by thanking you, Stephanie, for inviting me to do this on your inaugural Wise Woman interview. Like when you asked me, I mean, it's pretty awesome when you have a close friend and someone you admire considers you a wise woman. So big honor that you asked me to do this. But yeah, like you said, I'm the artist and creative behind 12th House Studio, and I'm also the web designer and graphic designer behind WooBird. And each one gives me a specific creative outlet for a side of me that I want to express. So with 12th House, it's more of my mystical, spiritual, metaphysical side that I long to express. It allows me to get out my knowledge of astrology, my passion behind astrology, my love of making metaphysical art. And then WooBird allows me to do graphic, web design, build through Wix. And that's a completely different side of myself and a completely different creative side of myself that I get to express. So it's pretty cool. It's two, they're both art, both creative endeavors, but they also allow me, you know, they're each their own entity. And I love them both.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about WooBird because I don't know which bird you have on your shoulder right now, but can you tell us?
Yes. So WooBird, so this is Professor Feathers. He's wanting to go back to his cage, but his cage is actually, he's the cockatiel. He's the cockatiel that's behind my logo. Three cockatiels, but he is the one that's most bonded to me. And the reason I went with the term WooBird when I launched WooBird Creative, I wanted something that not only felt fun and inviting and engaging, but also that really reflected my personality. And Professor Feathers is with me all the time. The way you see us now is like anytime I'm working wire or anytime I'm, you know, at the computer working on a design project, he's always on my shoulder, or sometimes he'll sit on my knee, or sometimes, as he just did, he'll jump on my laptop and, you know, move across the keys. But he's my little companion, and you know, I thought he would make the best mascot. He's got a really big personality, and he's kind of arrogant, but he has a really good disposition and a really big personality. So yeah.
When Hallie came on, she actually had two birds on both shoulders. I wish you guys could have seen that.
One ended up to the cage. We have two female and Professor Feathers, which is our male. And they tend to like want to be everywhere all at once. As you see, he's really wanting to fly back to his cage. But go on, Professor. Go. But anyway, yeah, you have to sort of embrace with birds wanting, they want to climb all over you. They want to be everywhere and they love to chirp. So
I love that. It's so cool. I just think it's cool how you've incorporated them into your business. It's really neat.
And I feel like for me, especially with WooBird, like because it's a branding and graphic and web design business, I wanted, you know, for me, the branding, I really wanted it to be fun and uplifting and for it to bring joy. And the logo of him, whoever's seeing this, you'll have to check out the logo. It's actually his little face But every time I look at that logo, it makes me so happy, and it like really gets me jazzed to do my work. So, you know, it's something that I feel like it's really a part of me, and it was really nice to have that reflected in that branding for WooBird. So,
yeah, it's so cool. I love that about everything you're doing, is you really reflect who you are and what you're all about in everything you do. I kind of wanted to ask you how you got into what you do, and if you feel like sharing a little bit about that before we dive into the things that you create, because I brought something to share about something you created. But
yes.
How do you get into what you do?
So I've really always been a highly creative person. I mean, ever since I was little. And I was one of those kids that, as I got older, I knew the older I got, I wanted to be an artist. I mean, there was no question about that. But I didn't really know, like, how do you even, you know, make money as an artist? And I always had this idea that artists and designers and creative people, like, you know, like the term, the starving artist, that was impressed in my mind at a really young age. And so I never thought it was a realistic way of making a living for a long time. But I knew I always wanted to create. I've always just had this urge to create, no matter, you know, what the medium was. And from a really young age, I started dabbling. I know a lot of what we're going to talk about tonight is being a multifaceted creator and creative. But a lot of what I dabbled in, I would... you know, I started sewing from a young age, and I started sewing by hand, and I love to draw, and I love to sing, and I love to write music, and that sort of has been something that's followed me, you know, all throughout my life. When I was, the wire work specifically, because that's really the creative medium I've been doing the longest, the wire work specifically, I started that actually in my early 20s. I'm 33 now. So in my early 20s, I actually worked at a call center, and they did a mass layoff. They did it in waves. So, like, you know, I knew I had a termination date, basically, or a layoff date coming. And so I kept thinking, like, what am I going to do with the severance package? What am I going to do with my time off? And I took, being the irresponsible 20-something-year-old I was, I took a chunk of my severance package, and I bought a bunch of jewelry-making supplies. And I bought little metal head pins, and I bought... you know, all the different wire tools and all kinds of stuff. And I stayed up late at night just trying to find something to occupy myself. I was like, I'll just try out making jewelry.
I suppose, and immediately, you weren't irresponsible. You were actually like planning for the future.
Yes, exactly. Like, it's so funny because little did I know that brief period of time would end up turning into like a life's passion of mine that like is like my, I would say the wire work, out of all the things I do, out of, you know, 12th house and the things I make with 12th house, the wire work is like my greatest soul offering, I would say. And it's deeply personal to me. And it's a huge reflection of who I am. Because I feel like it comes from a much different place than say like a graphic design project or a web design project or whatever. But yeah, I would stay up really late at night and would take these little head pins, and head pins, you know, the wire for a head pin doesn't come on a spool. It's like pre-cut, pre-flattened wire. And so I would take those and I'd put them together, and I started making all kinds of crazy intricate shapes. And for the longest time, I just did it for fun. And a few years ago, I decided to just start offering them. It was sort of nerve-wracking, like, you know, beginning to offer that work. And that was an interesting, thing to begin navigating, offering something that felt really personal to me suddenly to the public, and making things for other people. I'd always only made things for myself. Yeah. And so that was an interesting transition, but it just sort of unfolded. And I fell into it without even intending to, but it was like, in doing so, I really woke up something in me that ended up being like this passion that I think I will have to work wire till I die. I swear, until I'm old and my fingers won't do it. It's such a cathartic thing for me as well. That was another reason that I really was turned on to it. I remember sitting like all night. I would sit and just completely like tune out a certain part of my mind and just work wire and work wire and work wire. And it was so calming, and so I was able to release a lot and occupy sort of that anxious part of my mind doing so. So,
that's really,
yeah. And
that's how knitting is for me. It's just like creativity. And so like with your creative side, with all of this wire working and things, it's led you into creating your business, which is really, really cool. And your business has sprouted and changed so much over the years.
It has.
Faceted creator that you are.
Yes.
If you're a multifaceted creator, multifaceted, Hallie, did you want to give your definition first?
Yes. You know, even talking about, you know, the wire work, if you look at 12th House Studio and you were like, say you were to go to my website or my Instagram page now, you'll see it's mainly astrology and wire art and different. And I also make some other zodiac offerings. But it wasn't always that. Actually, 12th House Studio, funny enough, started back in 2012, I think, or 2013, as a screen printing business out of my garage. My husband and I had the screen printing business in our garage, and it was one of those things that we like discovered screen printing, and we're like, this is awesome. And my husband and his father worked together to hand build this screen printing press, and we used water-based inks and all this stuff. And then that failed. Like, we failed. Like, and I think as a multifaceted creator, you have to embrace failure. But that failed. And the next year I tried something different, and I was like, oh, I'm going to 12 House Studio is going to be this other thing. And that ended up not working out. And so the wire work and the astrology ended up coming out. It ended up being my third attempt at making 12th House Studio happen. Because like I said, I've always wanted to offer creative things and art, and I've always longed to do that. And anyway, for me, being a multifaceted creator, it's being someone who is inspired endlessly by so many things. And not just being inspired by, but seeing some you and saying, oh, I want to try my hand at that. I want to try and make that. Or, you know, having an idea or seeing something on TV or reading something in a book and wanting to learn it and become a part, you know, make that a part of your, you know, your craft or whatever. And it's eclectic interest. You know, it's not multifaceted creatives. We tend to not be people who just pick one thing and just focus on that one thing and go. We tend to have, you know, a variety of interests and a variety of things we love, which can make it difficult to settle down. There's actually a book several years ago, oddly enough, around the time that I was laid off of that job as part of that layoff. I was watching a PBS special, and I want to get her name right, Margaret Lobenstein. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But she did one of those like Saturday PBS specials where you watch a little bit of the tape, and then they go back and they're like, oh, here's the book or here's the DVD. If you pledge, you get the book, and then it goes back to the tape of her. And for her, it was this whole idea of the Renaissance soul. And I want to read, because I think the way she describes the Renaissance soul is very similar to what a multifaceted creator is. And I want to read this. In her terms, a Renaissance soul is a person who thrives on a variety of interests and redefines the accepted meaning of success. And I think for multifaceted creatives, for us, success may look differently than, you know, where if someone's on this linear, they've chosen one path and that's what they've stuck to. And they're, you know, the way forward is that. For multifaceted creatives, we might go over here, and then we might go over there, and then we might go this way. And it doesn't necessarily, for us, success may be, oh, I was super inspired by sewing, and now I want to learn how to do a sewing machine. And just exploring slightly that avenue, and then making an item of clothing, and maybe we're done with it. We're like, okay, I've sewed, done that. I can move on or whatever. But that might be success. You know, we have to kind of redefine the terms of what success is when we're a multifaceted creative, because sometimes, yes, and sometimes I think we, because we like so many different things, we don't always become this like crazy expert at this thing. Sometimes we have to narrow down our interests, and she even suggests this in her book. I highly recommend it's called The Renaissance Soul by Margaret Lobenstein, but it's a really good book if you feel like you're a multifaceted creative, or you're like one of these who has their hand in everything, you can't seem to set, you know, settle down into one thing. You don't really have to. You just have to figure out how these different interests and how these different avenues and all these things you want to create, like how can you make it work in your life? For me, it boiled down to giving everything, you know, I'm a Virgo, so I like to compartmentalize things. I like to put things in boxes.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. And I have to be organized. But for me, it was like realizing that I can do all the things that I want to do, but I need to also work to sort of give everything its own space. You know, 12th house, all of my eclectic, witchy, astrological, metaphysical love, that has its own entity, which is 12th. And then WooBird, you know, my love for design, my passion for branding, my love for website design, that has its own avenue. You know, I sew, I write music, you know, but those things for me, like, you know, those aren't things that I want to like create all the time. You know, they're sort of more hobbies, but I allowed myself to explore.
You're still good at it. That's the thing that I'm like, multifaceted creators, to me, like, they have all these things they're interested in, but they're still good at all the things that they're interested in. Whether or not like they hit multi-million-dollar success, it doesn't matter. They're still good at all of it. And that's like for you, like all the things I've seen you create, I'm like, she's still so good at all of them. And like when you said we have to redefine our version of success, like yes, because like maybe music for you is just a hobby at the moment, but it's still successful for your soul. So yeah, it's huge.
Exactly. And it like, that's actually, astrology was one of those things for me where that was a hobby and a huge passion of mine, but it was something that was sort of personal to me. And it, you know, and I started studying astrology. I've probably studied astrology for almost 10 years now. And that was something that slowly developed. It was something that when I found it, it really sparked my interest. But it was something that at the time I wasn't like, oh, I'm immediately going to start offering chart consultations and I'm going to, you know, this is going to be a huge part of my work. I never saw it as that at first. But the longer I studied and the more I got to know and the more I learned and the more I studied charts and everything, I realized like, man, this is like my language. Like, you know, astrology is like a language in a way. And when you learn astrology, it's like learning a language. And for me, I ended up coming to a place where I decided like, this is something that I want to offer. Like this, it became something that I wanted to turn into something more, you know? So yeah.
Yeah. Do you think like when you're talking about this and I hear you kind of going off like, oh, I really liked this, but I didn't like this. And this didn't feel like as like I wanted to create with this. Do you think there's any challenges in being a multifaceted creator that you found yourself?
Yes. I think for me, wanting to do all the things all the time is really difficult. For me, figuring out what's the best energetic investment is tough. And I will say the only way to do that is through prayer. Like I wish I had this magic recipe or way to say, here's how you should pick the things that you want to do. Because I think multifaceted creators, we innately tend to be like, asking us to choose something is like, how can we choose? You know, we want to do all the things. I think like it's literally, and that's the challenge in it, is knowing like, hey, I really could do, if I wanted to like learn knitting, you know, I really could pick it up and dive in and like learn it and really get into it. But I figuring out what the best energetic investment is. And then when you make, for me, making the choice, to have my two businesses and operate those two businesses, it's like balancing those two things, balancing all your passions, that has been difficult. And like I said, it's been through trial and error, you know, figuring that out at least.
No, I agree. And I know that a lot of people, they say success comes when you focus on one thing. And I personally, like, I feel like you, I don't really feel like that's the case. Like, I like being able to explore in a variety of different ways and kind of like find my own flow through it and then allow it to kind of grow into its own entity, mm-hmm. as you have with like astrology and all of your other businesses. It's not really so much like I'm only going to focus on this and this is going to grow.
Right. I feel like the moment I'm one of those people that I feel like the moment I start to limit myself, I start to feel like creatively, you know, restricted. And then I'm suddenly wanting to like, it creates agitation in me. And I feel like, you have to really, like we said, redefine success, but even make success not this thing that is this huge thing that happens down the line. Like success for me, and I've really tried to like narrow down success into something like smaller successes, I guess, that add up into what feels like a bigger successful venture, right? So like, you know, with sewing, for example, I love to sew and I love to make my own clothes, but I'm in a season that's not really something I'm able to really focus on at the moment because I have a lot of design work going on. I'm doing a lot of work with 12th House, and that's okay. But for when I was sewing, I used to have a serger, which is it's different from a regular sewing machine, and it looked like the most intimidating piece of equipment. And my husband had bought it for me like 2 years prior. And I was like, this is amazing. This will help me sew clothes so much faster, but like, it freaks me out. And I ended up setting like these little milestones that like, I'm just going to watch the video on how to thread the serger. Okay, I did that. Boom. That was a successful moment. Okay, now I'm going to just practice some scraps. That was a successful moment. And all those little successful moments ended up adding up into like, by a month or two later, I was sewing some bell bottoms and I had sewn skirts and I did a whole capsule wardrobe. And it's like, I let that all that creative passion play out. And then, you know, those little successful things ended up turning into a big successful thing, you know, and recognizing like I do have time. I think that's another piece is sometimes as multifaceted creatives, it's like, do we have time to do everything we want to do? And recognizing like my mom and I were talking this morning and she kept reminding me the universe has an abundance of time. Like that's all we have is time. It's a matter of how we compartmentalize our time, you know, getting a planner, making sure that, you know, everything, you know, I create time, I create space. I say from this hour to this hour, I'm creating the time for all the things that we want to do. I think that's, and recognizing that there is time, like, this right no matter what, we've got time.
My soul so much, because it's like throughout my journey, both physically with how I'm feeling and like metaphysically with things I'm going through, it's like I'm always hearing, you don't have enough time, you don't have enough time. And it's like, no, pull the reins back. You do have enough time. Like you have to just make the time to do the things that light you up and get the planner and put the things in your planner and be like, all right, we're going to do that at that time. Or you know what, if it doesn't feel good, we're not, and it's going to be okay.
And really, I feel like as a multifaceted creative, you have to embrace failure. I feel like that's such, like failure, and maybe that sounds really cliche or self-helpy, but it's so true for me. Recognizing that if I do explore something creatively, and it doesn't necessarily pan out, maybe that's not necessary, you know, that's not always a failure. I allowed myself to explore it. I tried it. Maybe it didn't work. Maybe it could come back down the line. You know, I don't have to be so rigid and say, you know, it just didn't work for now. Maybe in 10 years it'll show up. That's the interesting thing about my wire work, actually. I started making all those wire pieces with the head pins and the beads and stones in my early 20s. And then I put it away and I actually didn't work wire for probably 6 years or so, a really long time. And I got really bored, honestly, one afternoon about 6 or 7 years ago and was like, I think I'm gonna get my wire out. And at the time I had not worked with copper and I happened to get a spool of copper. I was at a local bead shop that is here in Memphis, the bead, what is it called? I can't think of the name off the top of my head. The Bead Couture off over on Broad. Yeah. Yes, the Bead Couture. I used to go in there and I got a spool of copper and I just started working wire and it ended up becoming something even greater. But it was like one of those things that I had to be willing to like, I never would have imagined that putting that down and letting that kind of be for a while that I can pick it up later, you know? So for people who feel like, oh, well, I tried my hand at learning guitar or I tried my hand at, you know, knitting or whatever, and that just wasn't for me. Well, maybe in a few years it is for you. Maybe it is if you just create the time and the space for it. So, but failure is a huge, you know, embracing all those speed bumps and the times that you do screw up, because you really never know like what avenues it's going to end up, you know, opening.
And so like with all that, like with the burnouts that we experience, because I know that because we love to do so many things, sometimes we don't make the time to honor our own self-care.
Or, like, absolutely.
Down. So like I know you actually went through your own personal journey. Do you mind sharing like just a little bit about that and how you kind of worked through that?
Absolutely. anyone who's followed 12th house for any period of time knows that I went through a period where I'd be super active and then all of a sudden I'd be like, you know, I'm taking a break and I'm, you know, I'm going to pause and you won't see me on Instagram and I wouldn't post for 6 months. And then I'd come back and suddenly I would recharge and I'd feel better. And then I'd be like posting again. But a lot of that was because I would hit a place of being completely burned out. Like I would just experience burnout. And for the longest time, and I even wrote this down when I was kind of taking notes of things I wanted to talk about during this interview, was that burnout creeps up on me. And a lot of times I don't know, I'm really, like, I don't recognize burnout until it's too late. You know?
Coming in, they're like,
I know, I have my dog. I keep my dog. It's literally, my cat's out there somewhere, but it's an animal house at my house.
You're gonna freak out, Mom, but we still love you.
Yeah, it literally is like, I mean, it's like, what was that movie, Dr. Dolittle, where he had all the animals and then in the movie? Yeah, that's like my house. No, but burnout. So a lot of times I wouldn't recognize I was burnt out until it was too late, which for me, signs of burnout may be I get really snappy with the people around me. I start getting really anxious about time. Do I have enough time? I don't have enough time. I also start to approach work that would normally leave me feeling really enthusiastic. I would start to approach it with feeling really resentful for having to do it. And I noticed that's probably one of my biggest signs of burnout. If I'm coming to a creative project, and I'm approaching it feeling like, I don't want to be doing this. Why did I take on this project? Or why did I decide I would do this? Why did I commit to this? What I used to do is completely check out and be like, I can't handle this. This is too much. But what I've learned over time is that I don't have to completely stop and walk away from, it's not like a total lost cause. Like what the burnout is really the message of is you just need to reevaluate your priorities and reevaluate how you're spending your time, how you've, you know, did something happen on the front end when you decided to take on this project or when you decided to launch this new creative venture or whatever? How could you have set this up differently so that it, you know, it's an invitation to just try to rebalance things out. But that for me, that didn't come without a lot, again, a lot of failure and a lot of trial and error and realizing, whoa, this is what I'm doing is not working. Running two creative businesses can be really difficult. There are times where I feel like, maybe I've overcommitted myself, or maybe I've undercharged here or overcharged, you know, whatever. There's so many things that can occupy your mind of mistakes you may have potentially made or whatever. But I think I know for me, when I do experience burnout, one of the best things is just kind of walking away, whether that's for now, it's usually for like a day or two, sometimes a week. I have to give myself a break. I used to think I needed to take this like 6 month break, but it seems like the longer the break I need from the burnout, I went way too far into the burnout, if that makes sense. You know, like I let it go. I was pushing way too long. I shouldn't have. I will say, being a multifaceted creative, in a way, it actually can help with burnout, which may sound off. I think when you really start to feel burnout, whether it's, you know, now you're doing too many things and now you reevaluate how you're using your energy or whatever, you can stop because you're a multifaceted creative and you have an abundance of, usually we do have an abundance of creative energy. You can stop those things, but you can go pick, for me, it's, I'll write a song or play music on my piano. That's a way for me to still feel like I got the creative juices going, but not for these things. You know, I need to stop looking at that website that I've been staring at over and over, you know, or I need to put this wire project down because I'm getting really frustrated with it. You know, I can put those things down, but I can also, you know, here's this other little interest that I haven't paid attention to. Maybe I can spend the weekend doing that, you know, and then you give space, you kind of feel like you're still doing something, but then you're able to shift. So like being a multifaceted creative, you still can, it helps sometimes with burnout. It's like, stop with those things you liked and maybe pick up this thing that you haven't touched in a while. And even if that's writing or whatever that looks like, playing music on the guitar, whatever that looks like, you know, shifting focus sometimes really helps. And then when you do, you have to give yourself a break, because when you come back, whatever that thing is that's maybe, you know, one of your main squeezes creatively, you come back refreshed. You know what I mean? Like, you've got this, you come back different, you know? So you gotta let yourself check out sometimes.
I really feel like that's important for people that are multifaceted creators to hear right now. And then I completely resonate with that as well. Cause I mean, we've seen each other grow because we took yoga, our yoga teacher.
Yeah.
So we like literally went through yoga teacher training and then blasted off into our like little creative people. So like 12th house, all that stuff you already discussed, like how it's changed so much. And I was like doing the pixie yogi over here. And then all of a sudden that turned into the Apothecary of Babylon. And then it changed into Pixie Morris. And it's interesting because it is true. Like, you hit a burnout and you're just like, I can't do this anymore. And for me, it was like, I can't do this anymore. Delete.
Yeah.
For you, I think it's beautiful that you, like many professionals say, give yourself a vacation. Like, everybody needs a vacation. Like,
yes.
Say you're going on a break and leave and come back when you're done. Like, you have to be able to take breaks from, like, especially social media and your website and building things like that. So that's really important. I think I've gotten better at it now, but oh my gosh, yeah. Like, I used to just be like, and I'm done, delete. Like,
yeah, yes. And I think being really kind with yourself when you do, like you said, when you hit the delete button, a few weeks later, you may have been like, okay, that was a little dramatic. Like, I've done that for myself. There was actually in January, I started to feel burnout. Like, I was so afraid that if I jumped back into 12th house, I'd burn out again. And what I've taught myself, because I did take a long break from it last year, but what I taught myself is that if I need to, like, if I do need to step away for a minute, and even if I do it dramatically, even if I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to deactivate my Instagram, I need a break, or whatever that looks like, or even if I'm like, you know, however that break needs to be, a lot of times, like, we have these expectations of how we think it should look, and then there's how it is, and embracing, like, how it is, like, well, maybe, you know, okay, what if that, me deactivating Instagram, or me, you know, walking away for 6 months and taking a break, you know, that's okay. Like, kind of just giving yourself permission to just do whatever you need to do at the time and let go of a lot of the expectations that you've set up for yourself for how it should be at this point, right? Like, you just kind of have to embrace, like, if you're needing a break, listen to that. Because for me, I've noticed when I don't listen to if I sense my anxiety creeping in, or if I sense that I'm becoming resentful about something, or that I'm dreading coming to this creative project or whatever, if I don't listen to that and I don't start to make adjustments initially, whether that's scheduling in more time, like today, I had a lot of creative projects and a friend of mine had asked me to go to lunch, and I kept thinking, how am I going to go to lunch with this person and see this person, but also still do, and I was this close, and if she sees it, she's gonna be like, thanks, Hallie, but I was this close to texting her and being like, I can't do this because I've got so much going on, but I ended up going, and it was like, I completely forgot about everything I needed, all the creative, like, to-do lists in my head, and oh yeah, I'm, you know, this project, and I gotta mail this out, and all this stuff, and it was exactly what I needed. So sometimes those little breaks from burnout, like, they can come in, like, going to lunch with your friend, or, you know, doing a Netflix binge one night and just putting your laptop away, or taking a long bath, or whatever, or taking off a week, or taking off a month, whatever that looks like. You know, so I've needed all of those things.
From Hallie. Yeah. So these are basically things that you've done to, like, help your self-care, which I think is important for people to do, is, like, have that time for self-care when the burnout starts to, like, occur. And, like, burnout can happen to anybody. And I love it. Like, you know what, you might get burned out, but if you're an extrovert, seeing people might be really helpful, or just Netflix and chill, literally.
Yes.
Just chill, like, nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think for me, like, I'm someone who really needs, you know, I name my business 12th House Studio because in astrology, I have a stellium in my 12th house. And 12th house people tend to need time away and time alone to recharge a lot more than most people. And so I thought it was sort of this, like, I'm like, why did I name my business 12th house? Because it seems like I'm needing to step away from it and, you know, all that over and over again. But then I realized, like, that's part of, like, it's part of the journey. But I've come this year, I've come to a place where I've been it's almost seems counterintuitive, but like giving myself WooBird and allowing myself to have that space, I can shift from WooBird to 12th house and 12th house to WooBird. And it's like, I never get sick of either because I've given myself options. So I think, you know, as a multifaceted creative, like allowing yourself to try out, like, what would it be like if I did two things? Or what would it be like if I did three things? And not, and you know, the three things don't have to necessarily be, have these great emphasis in your life, right? Like you could, like for me, like I said, I write music occasionally. It's not this thing. I'm not suddenly going to turn into the singer-songwriter and be playing, you know, open mic nights around town. But it's like, it gives me, I do give myself permission to try all of the things because there is an abundance of time. Like we do have, there is time for all the things, you know, it yeah.
I think that for some people, and especially in my world that I've met, they've always been afraid of people doing so many things. And they've, like I said already, they've told you to find like, just find one thing and focus on it. And I kind of find it interesting that you've already discussed, like, hey, what it would be like if I found these two different things that I really enjoy. And I really kind of find it interesting that our society, I know that we are all kind of like getting to a point where our adrenal glands are a little overworked. Like society is a little bit like we're overworking ourselves. But I also feel like there's just some people where it's like, that's just the way my brain works. That's just the way I and I need more than one thing in order to like feel like I'm me. It's not really like I'm burning out all the time. It's like I need another thing so I can let go of whatever this is inside, you know? Yes,
absolutely. And I think, you know, like giving ourselves permission to do all the things, it's like, I actually did not graduate from college. I really struggled in college. I struggled in school, middle school, high school, all that. But I really struggled trying to navigate college. But the idea that I had to pick something and that was this big investment was like, I can't. And then even worse, the things that I loved, like astrology, I mean, there are astrology universities and you can get certificates and go through school, but it's not like you can really, like, it's not like, you know, University of Tennessee, Knoxville has like Astro 101. Like, you don't, you know, that's not something, or, you know, in metaphysics and a lot of the things that I love are, you have to educate yourself in different ways to get, you have to read a lot of books. There's, you know, you find the right teachers and everything. So sometimes the things that we really love and all the multifaceted creative things that we're drawn to, you know, it's not, sometimes that didn't come from college and you can't learn it from a specific place. You learn it from, you know, watching lots of YouTube videos or whatever. But for me, college was not, I couldn't wrap my brain around picking the one thing. And I will say I went through several years. I would say a good chunk of my 20s was spent with me feeling like, shame, I would say, like, oh, I'm the one, I have two older half brothers and an older sister, and I'm the one kid who doesn't have the college degree, right? And my sister graduated from MCA, and my brothers graduated from, you know, their SEC schools, and I did not do, you know, I didn't do that, and I felt like, does this mean I'm a failure? But I think I've had to create my own career in a way, right? Like, you know, I didn't go to school for web design. So everything I've learned in doing web and graphic design over the past 7 years, it's like I've really taught myself. I've really done my own research.